as we continue the series today talking about the blessing of the Lord, that's why. That's why you pursue the blessing. That's why you come after God. That's why you cling to Him and hold on to Him, because of His ability to bless and His desire to bless and to do good. God wants to do us good. His desire is to work out great things. And even when we go through all the trials that are a part of this walk, understand that just like with Abraham, who 25 years went through the wilderness waiting for the promise of his son to be born. From the age of 75, he waited all the way to 100 for God to bless him. So we need to know as we go through trials, as long as we keep our rest in God and keep looking to Him and keep doing the things that He would have us to do, we're doing the right way. You know, when Job lost everything, when he lost his children and he lost his wealth and he lost everything he had, the one thing that he needed most, he kept. And truly, he didn't lose much of anything in life, because everything a man needs was found in the God he continued to serve. See, the story is to realize it wasn't about the stuff. The blessings in Job's life were nice, but the blessing that is most important to all of us never left him. You can have so much stripped from you. House, job, health. But where does your health and your life and your wealth and your treasure, where is it? That's what we're talking about in this series in blessing. Yes, there are ways that lead to physical blessing. No doubt about it. But really, what are we after here? It's so much higher. It's so much more perfect. It's so great. Now, we talked about how Abraham left, right, his country, his home, and his father's house. And he left that in order to seek the blessing of a heavenly country, of a heavenly home, and to dwell in his father's house in heaven. We've talked about how the blessings of God are something that we need to be patient for and wait. That Abraham kept seeking all that time. And even when he finally received the blessing and had it, that he didn't control it, but he offered it back to the God who gave it to him. Because God wants us to even give our blessings to Him. And just as Abraham gave up his son, so God the Father gave up His Son. And do you realize that by God the Father giving up His only begotten Son, His blessing, by giving up His blessing, we are all here blessed today. Amen. See, it was by Him giving of the blessing. Having the blessing isn't enough. It's having the blessing, receiving it, that you may give it to someone else. The whole nature of God is this generous, loving nature by which He wants to give and bless. And He wants us to go through this process. So even when we get the blessings, we need to give. Now, we talked last week, why then was God blessing him so much? And as it says in Genesis 26, it says, I bless him because he obeyed my voice. He kept my commandments and my charge and my statutes. He followed me in the way that I told him to go. And we discussed how when you don't walk in the way of blessing, where God is, you are kidding yourself to think that you can be blessed. There is a way that leads to life. There is a path of righteousness that God walks on. And He's inviting us to walk with Him, to come near to Him, to abide in Him and have fellowship. But when we try to go our own way, we're not going to find blessing outside of that path. You know, young people, if you want to have a good marriage, you have to do things that God counsels you to do. Select someone that is of a like mind and a like belief with you. Look for God to bless you with a spouse who believes in the same things. You know, if someone you are attracted to doesn't believe in the commandments of God and doesn't accept Christ as their Savior, how are you going to have a unity of mind to walk together in a household with this as the guiding authority in your life? Do you see how futile that would be? The deception is you see somebody and you're attracted to them, or you like their personality and you want to hold on to them. That's a deception. If they don't buy into this first, what means do you have to even have a relationship? And friends, I'll tell you, even if neither one believes, well, that's a disaster waiting to happen. Because what foundation will they look to say this is the authority that rules our marriage? What's great about this is there's an authority. But when people have no authority, guess what? Everybody does what is right in their own sight. And there is no blessing in that. It's only cursing. See, God shows ways. And this book is chock full of just so much truth about how to be a good worker, how to be a good employer, how to be a good child, a good son, a good father, a good brother, a good sister. It's all here. And so we have to continue to look to God. And we want to kind of pick up on this today by going to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter 28. When God was giving His Word and giving His instruction to His people, He spoke to them and saying, very clearly, there is a way of blessing and there is a way of cursing. Last week we went to Deuteronomy chapter 30, where God put before us blessing and cursing. And one of the things we discovered last week in the sermon is that God gives you a choice. Blessing is a choice. You can choose life or death, blessing or cursing. God puts it before you, but ultimately you choose which way you want to go. And God is repeating that here in Deuteronomy 28. Notice this. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 28:1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, I want you to look really at what He's saying. It might seem easy here to just say it's because you obey the commandments. But I want you to look past the commandments even to who you're obeying. The blessing is not just in doing the right things. The blessing is in obeying the right God. There's a relationship here. Notice it again. If you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your God, are you, when you look into this word, looking to hear the voice of God? See, this isn't just a dead book with old words. The voice of God speaks to us through this word. When we in faith believe, I promise you that I have experienced this many times in my life. When you look to hear from God and you cry out, teach me, God, show me the way. I want to walk in what's right. I don't want to go in ways of cursing. I want to be blessed. He speaks. He starts to teach and deliver. Sometimes we look at law very much in a Western world mindset as a rule. You know, it's a rule, and the rule has to be obeyed. But realize that when you look at God's law, it is like a father sitting down his child and saying, let me instruct you and teach you about the right way. This is God's heart toward us. And it's the heart of a godly parent to want to teach and instruct their children in a right way. Why? Parents, why do you want to teach your children anything? Why do you want to teach them the right way? Anybody have an answer? You all are homeschoolers, right? For their safety and protection. What else? To keep them from harm. Because we love them. We want to see them be blessed in life. We want to see them be blessed in life, right? You want things to go well for them. You want to protect them from harm. And you want them to be blessed. There is a way of blessing that God lays out for us when we follow and walk in His ways. So, parents, do you ever find it a struggle sometimes to impart this to your children? To let them know that really, even though it seems like we're being strict, or that it seems like our rules don't make sense, is it hard sometimes to impart how much you love your child and how much you desire for them to have good? See, because we know if we would get that, right, we could make headway in their lives. If our children really trusted our word, and when we said, we know you want to do this, we know you desire to go this way, we know that you have this natural inclination, but let me tell you, that desire will lead you down a path that you don't want to go. It's pain, misery, and death down that other way. Now, we implore with our children, try to get them to understand that the instructions we give are out of love and care for them, because we sometimes can see things a little bigger than they can. But sometimes our kids don't understand that. Maybe they don't trust in the counsel. They question, they doubt. And when they do, they're not so willing to go along with it. Are we not the same way with our Father in heaven? Here's a word of instruction that He gives. He wants to give it to us because He loves us. He genuinely wants to keep us from harm. He genuinely wants to teach us how to be blessed. So last week we were talking about Malachi 3 and tithing. How God says, you rob me. And He said, what way we rob you? In tithes and offerings. How do we rob God? In tithes and offerings. Because He knows that part of the process of blessing is giving. If you want to keep receiving His blessing, you need to learn how to grant blessing back to God. There's a way that He is teaching in principle. God doesn't need the money. That is not His concern. His concern is our heart and our desire to give to Him, so that we learn the lesson of giving, of sharing, of blessing. Not that we're just selfish, but that in everything with which God blesses us, we want to share it back out. By the way, thank you so much for doing the camping thing and organizing all of it. It was great. So God wants you to take a gift, not a camper. Right? She can organize that, not me. But see, she took her gift and she blessed everybody with it. Right? How are you looking to take of the things that God has given you and to bless others? It has to be given out. So when God says that, it's not that He's trying to rob you of 10%. He's wanting you to learn how to give and bless others, and He will continue to pour out blessing. He says this is His way. He doesn't want you to have the blessing stop with you. So, friends, if you are not giving to God, you know, and I said shame on you a couple weeks ago, it's a shame because you're never going to progress in that part of your relationship with God when God actually says, test me and try me if I won't open up heaven and bless you. I haven't stopped tithing since I was a teenager, and I can tell you that I've never gone without food, I've never gone without shelter, I've never gone without clothing. And in fact, one might look at my lifestyle and say, actually, God's been very rich and blessed you in many ways. So there is a way that leads to blessing. Doesn't make sense sometimes that you rest on the seventh day. God says work 6 days, rest the seventh day. Why? He knows there's a way of blessing in it. He's not trying to keep something from you. He's trying to add value to your life and blessing. Do you understand? Sometimes we, as little children, don't get that God loves us and is genuinely trying to bless us. When He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, He's wanting us to remember something that is so valuable that if we ever forget, we will be lost. I tell you, if you look at this country, it is a country that is lost. It is a country that has left the times of remembering God and has gone on a path so far astray from what the original founders wanted this place to be when they traveled across the ocean to come here and establish a land. Do you remember what they said? They want to progress the kingdom of God. They want to progress His kingdom. They want to have opportunity. They want to have liberty. They want to be blessed to progress the kingdom of God. Friends, is that the message you hear in the United States today? Is it the message you see in the lives of its people today? We've forgotten. But when you go out to Rhode Island and you look at the church and you go out to Mystic, Connecticut, and you see there's a church that kept the Sabbath. And you go in and you learn, and they said, you know what? On the seventh day of the week, this town shut down because the family kept the Sabbath according to the commandment. The whole town closed. And I'm there as one who's been keeping the Sabbath as a teenager. I'm like, you're kidding me. Why don't they tell you these things? Right? A whole town shut down? You mean the town could shut down for the Sabbath and they still survived? They still lived? But when you neglect taking the time for God, you are headed for tragedy. You know Ezekiel 20, when he talks about why people went into captivity, he said, because you, right, you tread upon my Sabbaths. You profane, that's the word I was searching for. You profane my Sabbaths. And you know what he says there? Because your heart went after other idols. That's why people stop keeping the Sabbath. Because their hearts want to go after other idols. They think, I don't need this rest. I don't need to physically do this. Because they want to do something else other than take time for God. And as this nation was founded, people either kept a Sabbath on the seventh day according to the commandment, or even through the knowledge that was given through the teachings of the Church of England and through the Catholic Church, on the first day of the week. But the benefit was probably there, that people were looking to God and they knew they needed to rest. So you look in this word, and God says, here's a way of blessing. 6 days you shall work and do all the labor. So notice here in chapter 28, verse 2. So all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring and your flocks. Blessed shall you be in your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command blessing on you. How many of you want the Lord to command blessing? See, that is something worth going for, isn't it? Lord, command blessing in my life. Command blessing to flow. I don't want to stop where I am. I want to go forward with you. And as you take your life and submit it to God into this word and say, what do you want me to do, God? He says, hey, don't cower in fear. Hey, don't give in to vice. Hey, don't give in to lawlessness. Come with me in a perfect way of love and start walking with me according to my ways. You open up the world and God says, try me. Test me and see what I will do when you turn your life over to me. God will lead you in a straight pathway that leads to life. Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. But narrow is the path, confined is the way that leads to life. Do you want to be walking on it? That is where blessing is found. Sometimes we think we'll be happier or blessed running away from that path. And we never will be. We never will be. Notice this, dropping down, verse 9. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, and in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You don't need to borrow when you're living God's way and being blessed. Right? Because what does He say? Owe no man anything but to love one another. We think we'll get ahead by going into debt. That is a dangerous pit. Any of you know that pit? Yeah, that's a bad way to go. But so many people go down that path thinking they'll get ahead by going into debt. Do you know why God doesn't want you to do that? He wants you to look to Him as your provider. To be content with what He gives you. He says, go work. Honor me. Bless me. Do the right things that I teach you. I will take care of you and provide for you. You don't need to go another way. You don't need to seek another provider. Look unto God to bless you and be content with the things He gives. Do you trust that God will give you what you need? Do you trust Him to be your provider? See, it's very relational what we're talking about. Obedience to the commandments of God is not just a matter of jumping through a hoop of obeying a rule. It is a matter of walking with your Creator in the way that He designed for you and for Him to live together. Remember, you're on the path walking with Him. And the way He's going should be the way you want to go. And the blessing that pours out from Him should be the blessing that you're seeking. And if He says, that's not a blessing, that's a cursing, then you should say, it's a cursing. I don't want it. To walk in His ways, to allow God to take charge in your life, to allow the blessings to come from Him, this is the life that comes when you submit your heart to Him, when you lay yourself down in humility and say, your blessing, because you are able, and nothing of this world is greater than you. That was the heart of Job. The heart that says he wanted the blessing and he would bless God, whether he had or whether he didn't. But notice verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and they'll overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be in the basket and in your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of the body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. How many of you want to be there where the Lord has cursing? Because what you need to do if you want cursing is to not acknowledge this and start forsaking it. There's life in here when you hear the voice of God. There is life in His voice when you obey Him. The things that He commands us to do are things that will produce blessing in us. And when we walk in His ways, He commands blessing to be upon us. That's where you want to be. And however it looks physically, let it look so. If He gives you a lot physically, accept it with gladness. And if He takes and you have less physically, accept it with gladness, trusting that He will give the blessing in the time that it's best for you. The waiting and even seeing things contrary to what you desire, things, blessings of the, according to the will of God, when you don't see that, understand that that is part of the blessing. I know it seems crazy, but that is part of the blessing, to work within you a humility and a reliance on God, to build your strong faith in Him. Sometimes when we've laid hands on people in this church, we have seen them healed immediately. And we rejoice. And sometimes we lay hands on people and we don't see them heal immediately. And rejoice, because God wants to work something through it. Carolyn Sharpen's been cancer-free for years now. But for a whole year, we cried with her, we prayed with her, we blessed her, and God strengthened our relationship through it. And even today, we remember that time. I'll never forget the time we went up to Yosemite. Our two families going on a trip during her cancer year, and Carolyn's hair is not quite all there, and she's, you know, out there, and, you know, she's just not as strong because she's recovering physically. And we're out in the valley, and Harold Barksdale, who sang here today, taught us to sing a song, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord who keepeth me, He will not slumber nor sleep." And as we began to sing that song together and to worship and praise the Lord Almighty and the beauty of His creation and in the midst of the cancer, I tell you, there was no greater power to be known than when you come near to God and you say, it hurts, it's in pain, but to whom do we look? But to the God who is able and gives all blessing in life. And we could look to Him with hope. And we could look to Him with confidence, knowing that our God is so good. And when we look at her life today and all that she does in this church to bless this church, I want you to know it was a hard, long path to go with God through something so deep and so hurtful. When you go through and you're looking and you're waiting and you're hoping. And it was through all the looking and the waiting and the hoping that things were built that you can't build without going through them. There are things God does, and it is a blessing. The challenge is, will you give up on looking for the blessing of God, or will you see what He wants to do and trust? It's the test of faith. And faith is so key, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God keeps pushing us into that path, believing that He is, and that He's a rewarder. Believing that He is, and that He's a rewarder. Believe, friends, that He is, and that He is a rewarder. I want you to think about these blessings and cursings. God says, blessed are you if you obey the voice of the Lord. Cursed are you if you reject the voice of the Lord. I want you to think about this in your life right now. Think about it in your family and in society. Where are you headed? Where is your life going? You see, a lot of people talk about prophecy. They say, the world's coming. This is the day of your redemption, right? People want to figure out the scenarios. A lot of times, when they're trying to figure out scenarios, they have all these survival techniques. Right? How are you going to survive it? How are you going to be set apart? How do I save my own skin when the wrath of God comes? I'll tell you, before you do any of those things, before you get the 2 years worth of food and water and all the stuff, I want you to think about what really saves. So many people are trying to figure out the events. Let me tell you what's more important, figuring out you. Do you know what the blessings and cursing checker is? It's one of the greatest prophecies you will ever read. The prophecy of your life laid out for you. It's not so fascinating. You don't hear a lot of prophets prophesy of the blessing or the cursing of your life. But I can tell you, where will you be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if we continue to live and walk on this earth? It will be according to the prophetic word that if you obey the voice of the Lord and walk in His ways, you will be blessed. If you reject the voice of the Lord and forsake His ways, you will be cursed. You see, when we look at God's Word and He teaches us how to have a good marriage or a good relationship together, and we accept that, we have the opportunity to be blessed. And when we reject it, we are asking to be cursed. So sometimes when, you know, your child thinks you're being strict about developing relationships with people, I would just ask you, young people, think about your parents and the wisdom. They're trying to teach you this to give you good steps to follow, because they don't want you to be harmed and they want you to be blessed. And God is saying, you know what? You've got a lot of desires that go contrary to me. You know, it's a worldly desire to have sexual immorality. It's all over the Scriptures, right? It's a worldly desire to live covetous and greedy, right? It's a worldly desire to lie and cheat and have people think better of you than you are. Or to gain more for self that's not really yours. These are desires in human beings. Some have more proclivity to be drunk and use alcohol. Some have more proclivity to use drugs. Some have more proclivity to use sexual immorality. Whatever it is. We all have proclivities and we all have desires. It's when you give in to the desires and you reject the word that you should count yourself cursed. But when you reject your own desire and lay down your life for God, then you can count yourself blessed. And know that when you begin to lay down your own desire to follow in the desires of God, you will discover that that truly is where the blessing is
And that truly is where happiness and joy come from, where contentment is found, and where fellowship and satisfaction find a place in your life. You can chase so many dreams and visions, but if they be against the Lord God Almighty, know that you're heading down a cursed path. But if you will take what He says and follow in His ways, it's a path of blessing. And you will know that in the prophecy of your life, when you obey the voice of the Lord, that where you are going is to eternal redemption. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. And outside of that is nothing but destruction and pain, misery and death. God is encouraging you to understand the prophecy of your own life. That when He comes to the day of redemption, why is it that He prophesied, the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, He said, when you see men's hearts failing because of all the things that are going on in the world, He said, now you look up and lift up your head because your redemption is near. How do you know when to look up, guys? Because everybody's hearts are failing. Why are their hearts failing? Because they've been rejecting the voice of the Lord and their confidence and security is in the flesh. When our confidence in only true path is above in Jesus Christ. That is the path of blessing. Turn over with me to Deuteronomy 29, verse 14. I will make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. Verse 16 of Deuteronomy 29. For you know that we dwell in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols, which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose hearts turn away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Do you understand? He says, you went by all these nations. You saw the way they worship. You saw the false gods. You see a way of living contrary to God. And he said, I took you this way so you would see it. I took you this way so you would know what was wrong with it, right? The evil of it. So that your heart wouldn't be turned to that, nor that you would have a bitterness, a root of bitterness. Why would you have a root of bitterness? Because you would start desiring the things that you can't touch. You would start longing for and thinking that my life will be better if I can have these things that God says don't touch. It's the great deception and lie found in the Garden of Eden when Eve was told, this is better for you. And God said, don't eat of that fruit. And the serpent comes and says, oh no, this is good. And she starts to look and desire, seeing it's good for food and desirable to make one wise. Right? And she starts to encourage her own desire for what God said don't touch. Do you realize decisions that are made lead in paths of cursing that are still upon us today? The curse of death is upon the whole people, the whole world, because of it. And we continue to choose the ways of cursing. But God says, don't. And don't even develop a root-bearing bitterness or wormwood. Verse 19, and so it may not happen when he hears the word of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart. And you hear that? Saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. As though the drunkard could be included with the sober. We are in such a world as this, my friends, where people say, I can do whatever I want. I can live the way I want according to the dictates of my own heart, and I'm blessed. I have peace. Don't you believe it? God is not mocked. Galatians 6, 7. What a man sows, that he shall reap. What are you planting? What are you sowing? Are you sowing things that God can bless, or are you sowing weeds in your own garden? Are you sowing thorns and thistles and things that are prickly and painful and things that produce no good fruit? See, you sow, but it's God who gives the increase. And God says, when you plant the right things, blessing.
You plant the wrong things, cursing. What is it you're planting in your life? There is a way of blessing. But notice this now. Verse 20. The Lord would not spare him. This person who says, peace and blessing, I'm a Christian. Though they're walking in a way that's ungodly. The Lord would not spare him. For them, the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man. And every curse that is written in the book would settle on him. And the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. Kind of sounds similar to that whole blotting names out of the book of life. When a man knows the truth and then rejects it. Following the dictates of our own heart instead of God's ways. God wants you to know the blessings of life. And He wants you to know the freedom that is in Him. Turn over quickly with me to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi 2:17 says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, in what way have we wearied Him? You weary God in the way that you pray. It says, in that you say, everybody who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And He delights in them. It's a weariness to God to think that you're standing in the way of blessing and praying for blessing when your conduct is going against His counsel. It's a weariness. Nations praying, God bless America. And yet the nation doesn't stop to remember God. Do you remember who you are? Do you remember why you're here? See that again. Why are we here? To remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Why is it part of it? Because when we stop to remember the Sabbath, we remember a most fundamental thing. In 6 days, God created the heavens and earth. And in the seventh day, He rested. He blessed it. And He sanctified it. We remember who made it. We remember who made us. We remember who made everything. And when you remember that, it puts you in the right frame of mind to walk in a way of righteousness. To remember your Creator. And you realize you will only remember who you are and why you're here when you remember your Creator. He said, if you don't do this, I'm going to send on you confusion. I'm going to send on you a wandering heart. You won't know where to go or which way. You'll be like the blind, groping in darkness, seeking answers. Every day you turn on the news, people are wanting the answers. How do we solve this? How do we change the problems? It's right here, friends. People keep wondering and seeking what they cannot find because they refuse to remember the God who made us. And when we forget who we are and what we should do, we forget God. We forget God, we forget who we are. You will only find who you are when you first find Almighty God. You can't find Him outside of Him because He made you. He's your Creator. Everything about your life, He knows about. But we keep trying to find a blessing outside of God. And it leads to destruction, pain, and death. We can't find it. But now here's the thing. Have we not all fallen short of the glory of God? Have we not all found ourselves in sin? What does it say in Romans chapter 4? Turn with me there. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 and in verse 6. David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. To pronounce blessing where there was cursing. This is what God did. In the work that He did through Jesus Christ. You see, the first covenant as a way of living, you know, if you follow the commandments of God, it's a very good way to live. It's the way of God. If you doubt that at all, I just want you to think about Jesus Christ. How many of the commandments did Jesus break?
None.
Why not? They were a reflection of God. God in the flesh kept all the commandments. See, if they weren't good, if they weren't the right way to live, then He would have been breaking them, right? Because they were good, He kept them. Because they lead to a way of blessing. He set an example. His way was to walk in this way. But here's the problem. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have not kept His paths. So as a way of salvation, this law can't give us the blessing of life. Because the law comes with it cursing for disobedience. That's part of the law. And that law means we have sinned, we have fallen short, we are under death. But remember where we began this series. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The real blessing in the Spirit comes not of works of self, but when we surrender our lives to God and we believe in the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ and take our standing with Him. What's happened is, there's the path of righteousness. We have gone off and we have sinned. No amount of our obedience is going to bring us back. No amount of obedience is going to reconcile it. We are dependent on Jesus Christ to come here for us, to be cursed, to die, and we believing in the curse, He says, now you go. And you come to the path of righteousness. And as we stand in the path of righteousness with Almighty God, He puts His arm around you and says, let's walk. And as we start to go off, He grabs on and says, no, let's walk together here. Don't go back there. That's cursing. My Son went to get you from the cursing to bring you in the path of righteousness and of blessing and of life. Now walk with me. And He begins to walk, holding on. And when we want to go away, He's saying, no, stay here. This is the calling of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and of righteousness so that we walk in the way of blessing. Because this is where God lives. God is not going out there. He's not going to give Himself to sin. He will not sin because it's denial of His own self. Friends, you deny God when you think you know Him and you live in sin. You are going contrary to God. That's why He says, if you say you know Him, and you keep not His commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. You're not where He is. This is where the fellowship takes place. And when we disobey God, we're saying, no, we can have fellowship and keep moving away and keep moving away. And we go far from God. This is the prophecy of your life. Do you understand what God is saying? This is the path. If you want life, you've got to come join God in the way He walks and lives. This is the pathway of love. This is the pathway of faithfulness, of holiness, of righteousness, of truth, of honor, of glory, of sacrifice. This is the way of God that you live in. And you say, I don't want any other way. Blessed is the man to whom God imputes no sin, the man who is reconciled to God again. And friends, do you realize to go apart from Him is to reject this holiness, to reject the goodness of God? Would you ever want to go back to a path of cursing? God forbid. That's why Paul said, should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, those servants you are, of sin leading to death? Or righteousness? Whose slave are you? Who are you fellowshipping with? Who are you walking with? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Friends, this is the blessing I want you to hope in and believe. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When you believe and it is counted to you for righteousness, when you give your life to God to repent, to believe, to be baptized, to receive of the Holy Spirit, as you begin to walk with the Lord God Almighty, and you're walking in His paths, you, it says,
are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, remember I said, you're not going to find your life outside of Christ. This chapter is reminding us we are in Christ. In Him we live and we move and have our being. I'm going to say that over and over and over, that you can't forget those words out of your head, because it's no other life outside of Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. In Jesus. Now, I want you to get this, because it's our faith in Jesus Christ that puts us in the place of blessing and is a prophecy of our lives. Do you understand? Don't look now to yourself, but in Him, you are becoming a new person in Him. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him. Do you know you're chosen? How many of you are in Him and have accepted Christ? Jay, God chose you in Him. Sam, God chose you in Him. Can you say that? Can you say, God, thank you. You chose me. I want you to think this in your heads. Say it to yourself. God, you chose me. You're not here by random chance. There was a decided moment of choice. God chose you in the hopes that you would choose Him. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Are you holy and without blame? How do you get holy and without blame? How do you become holy and without blame? Blessed is the man to whom God imputes no sin, whose transgressions are forgiven. Do you accept and believe in this righteousness that comes apart from the works of the law and by faith in the work of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in this work? Do you believe in it in yourself? Can you say, God, as I stand before you, I am holy and blameless in your love. I don't want to go outside of that. You have made me so. You see, if you're looking at yourself right now and saying, I just don't think I can say that, you're remembering the person that was over here. The one that Jesus came to get and chose to bring back here to the path of righteousness. So easy to look back over there. But the blessing comes when you believe what God has declared you to be. That in Him you live and move and have your being. Because what He's saying is, when you are in Him, when God looks at you, He doesn't see your flesh. He doesn't see your sin. He sees Jesus. That's why it's in Him. That's why He says in verse 3, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. In Him. There is no life of blessing outside Him. You've got a hunger for it. You've got a thirst for it. You've got a desire to not leave the place of blessing that is with God. And when you see people tempting you and saying, come this way, you've got to say, no, it's cursed. Don't you realize that's death out there? And I don't want to swim in the paths of death. I'm going to go in the path of the living water of God, in His righteousness and in His ways. Having predestined us, verse 5, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Do you believe, as you sit here today, you are sons by Jesus Christ? Do you really believe that? Can you say, I, Dennis, I'm a child of God. I, Bill, I'm a child of God. I, Dusty, I'm a child of God. Not just a title, but believing that you are the child of God. Romans says, if you've received the Spirit, you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Can you say, I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ? I am the child of God. I am holy and blameless in the Beloved. Because as important as it is to obey, to be blessed, it is even more important to believe, to be blessed in the work that God does in our lives. Verse 6, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Again, how do you become accepted? Somebody said, oh, I've sinned. I've messed up again. When you find yourself in such a place, it says, if you are faithful to confess your sins, God is faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you come back to being in Him. It's always in Him. He is the power of our life. He is the power of our salvation to walk in His ways and to be accepted in the Beloved. Notice verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. In everything, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are on earth, in Him. Do you think Paul wants us to get the point? That God wants us to get the point? It's in Him. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. In Him we live and we move and we have our being, and everything is in Him. And when you see your life a blessing, it is always to be seen in Him. Do you believe the prophecy that you shall be redeemed from this earth and that you will have an inheritance eternal in the heavens? Do you believe that prophecy? Blessings and cursings chapter is a prophecy. There are ways to go. One that produces blessing, one that produces cursing. But the work of sowing that happens here is a work of belief or unbelief. Jesus said in John 5:29, this is the work of God, that you would believe in Him whom He sent. The belief of Jesus, believing in Him to transform you and to take you to be the person you are meant to be, walking in this path with a new heart, with a new life. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget why you're here. Don't forget why the blessing of God is so valuable and important, and to be without His blessing and favor is just nowhere to be. Surrender yourselves. Earnestly desire for the goodness of God, that you would know His blessing and His life, that you would know this goodness, that you could read Ephesians chapter 1 and put your own name in there, and that you say it with confidence and with faith and with full assurance, because in Him you are everything He declares you to be. In Him we live and we move and we have our being.